If you have served at any time in your life in our armed forces, any branch of those armed forces, I would appreciate it if you would stand before us at any time if you have served. If you all would remain standing. Thank you, men and women who have given to our country. And I'm not a pastor that's a warlord, but I'm also not a pastor that's scared to fight. And these men and women have made it possible for us today to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ loud and clear without any repercussions other than salvation. Amen. And as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what your political position is, we need to remember that as these men and women stand before us, there are men and women right now, today, on the field, in flap jackets with an M16 in their hand, and they're about the age of Jordan Carter. And they want to make sure that we have it in America. Now I'm going to ask the rest of our congregation to stand with them in honor of people that have given it so we can go on. There's an old song, it's Vacation Bible School time, and Memorial Day weekend always reminded me back then I went to about 4 weeks of vacation Bible school because I failed the first couple of weeks and I had to pass. And used to be a song we sang every vacation Bible school. We quit singing it in the church the past 30 years and probably better that we did because we sure haven't been this. Onward, Christian soldiers. We had a mission, we had a purpose, we had a battle. I want to thank you men and women who've served our armed forces, but also want to thank you men and women who have served the forces of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have one prayer, that none of you leave this earth without taking someone with you to heaven. Nobody leave this earth without taking someone with you to heaven. That's a great legacy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to honor right now our men and women that have given their lives so that we might have the country we live in. Lord, we confess that our country is not perfect and we have not done things that you've asked us to do. But we also confess, Lord, there are some things that we've done right. And Lord, they've been worth fighting for. Lord, I thank you that we're in a country where poor people don't have to stay poor. Where the downtrodden does have an opportunity to go on and prosper. Lord, I thank you that we're in a place where we can eat. I thank you for all the shelter you have given. I thank you, God, that we have been blessed so much that sometimes our blessing even becomes our curse. And so, Lord, I just pray this prayer today that we would learn to live wisely and that all of us in this room today would make a decision to be a legacy and to leave a legacy. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for your spirit today. It's going to be not different today, but what God wants today. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5, and I want you to listen closely. Right now, we are beginning the altar call. If you will, we're beginning the altar call right now. The altar call is in connection right now because you know what? I want to encourage each and every one of you who follow Jesus Christ to make a decision. First of all, I want you to evaluate, do I really follow Jesus Christ or do I just go to church? Do I follow Jesus Christ or do I just go to church? Because if all you're doing is going to church, you'll never leave a legacy. You'll never leave a legacy. Because this is all you got left in your life. This is your story. I went to church. And you know what I really say to that? Who cares? Who cares that you went to church? God never told us to go to church. He told us to be the church. And that's a big difference in the way that you live. You see, when you become the church, that means, Linda, when you're selling real estate, you're still the church. And when you're cutting a business deal, you're still the church. And when you're onward into battle, you're still the church. God has called us to be the church. And He's called us to live lives that leave behind meaning. I personally believe that the reason that so many of us are on those antidepressants and we've hit midlife and we've wondered, what in the world is life about is because we've never lived it for half our lives. For half our lives, all we've done is live to see how we can please ourselves, which is absolutely contrary to what God calls us to. He says, you live to please me. And when you please me, I will ooze life out of you that is abundant, that is full, that is meaningful, and that will go on. So you know what I'm calling all of us today? Hey, some of you, before you get to midlife, why don't you start living now? And if you're toward the end of the whole ride, say, you know what? I want to leave Jesus behind as my mark. There's two things I know that happens to human beings that have no discussion to them. Everyone is born and everyone will die. And then there's something in the middle of those two experiences. It's called life. And I believe that you get to choose a whole lot how you want to live that. That's what I believe. Now, I know a lot of us don't like to hear that because we can't cop out and blame our parents for our problems. You know, it's not popular today to go ahead and accept responsibility. I make bad decisions sometimes. How many of y'all have made a bad decision at least once so far in the human ride? Good. I hope you didn't marry it. Here's the thing. We want to make good decisions. And God calls us to a new life. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. I want you to hear these words, and I want to invite you to become these words. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you know these words are possible because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not just come here. He left His legacy in motion. In motion. You and I celebrate nothing but the blood of Jesus because He left a mark that was unchangeable. I want to encourage every one of us to understand we're to leave a mark that is unchangeable with our lives. You got one thing that's going to go on past you. His name is Jesus. Hello, church. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say today? You got one thing in your life that's going to be left here that will go on. His name is Jesus. He's worth everything. Well, who can have a legacy? Everybody and anybody. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Who is it that overcomes the world? I want you to wrestle with that question. Who is it that overcomes the world? Those who are in Christ Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 5. I wanted you to hear this passage of Scripture before I spoke it at your funeral. I speak this passage of Scripture at everybody's funeral, at the graveside service. Only funerals of believers. Funerals of non-believers, I don't have a whole lot to say. So I just preach the gospel because they didn't live a life that I can say anything about. You see, if you don't believe in Jesus, you know what? I'm not going to stand up here as a pastor and say, well, they were a good person, because guess what? Being a good person doesn't amount to a hill of beans, because I don't know what a good person is, because it depends where I am what makes a good person. You see, I want the truth. Your morality will never save you, but Jesus will. Your evil deeds will never lead you to life, but Jesus will lead you to life. And look what He says. These are the facts, folks. Somebody going to get saved today. Believe it. Look what He says. Somebody going to get blessed today. Believe it. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you know, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's anointed, God's appointed, the King of Kings, the way to heaven, the light, the truth, the forever. If you believe that, you are born of God. How many of you are born of God in here? You're born of God in here. And everyone who loves the Father loves His child as well. Let me tell you, it's about Jesus. It's not about a universal God. It's not about a God concept. It's not about a higher power. I'm so glad that my higher power has a name. And you know what? Here's what I love about my higher power. He goes beyond my understanding. I don't want a God of my understanding. That's what got me into trouble in the first place. Because I could bend God to my way of thinking. I need a God that's going to bend me to His way of thinking. I need a God that says, you know what? You're clean of your sin, and I am greater than you. I am more powerful than you, and I'm going to be here longer than you. So follow me. And when you take that step and start following Jesus, guess what happens? Your life is no longer confined to your identity. Now you've been identified in heaven. It says your name's written down in the Lamb's book of what? Life. How many of y'all glad you got your name written down? There's one plaque you want to have, and that's in the Lamb's book of life. There's one place you want your name to show up. That's in the Lamb's book of life. Because you really can't go to heaven with your American Express card and say, God, don't you know me? Don't you know me? He said, yeah, you're the fool that got in that much debt. God, do you know me? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Folks, there is no more important message than that. The faith doesn't go any deeper than the foot of the cross. Everything else that people try to add to it is nonsense. See, we try to find a God that's sensational. God doesn't want to be sensational. He wants to be Savior. God's not here to entertain us. He's here to bring us life. So let's live. Amen? Let's live a legacy because He is one. Look what He says. This is how we know that we love the children of God. Look. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out His commandments. I want you to know that obedience brings in legacy. And guess what? How many of y'all are glad to know this? God's commands are not burdensome. That's what He says right here. God's commands, they're not burdensome. Look what He says. This is how we know we love God and we obey His commandments. This is the love for God, to obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. What are God's commandments? What are God's commandments? Somebody, you better, if you're going to follow His commandments, you better know what they are. Let me teach for just a minute. What are God's commandments? What's His first commandment? Did y'all get that? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. How many of y'all realize everything you about has got to be love in the loving relationship with God? How many of y'all know that God uses everything we're about to illustrate His love? Come on, you with me, church? This is the way you live the legacy. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to let Jesus come out in it. If you're dating right now, guess what? Let Jesus come out in it. If you're married, let Jesus come out in it. If you're in the grandparenting business, which many of you are in this service, guess what? Let Jesus come out in it. If you got a new job, let Jesus come out in it. If you got an old job, let who? Jesus come out in it. That's the way you become a legacy. You love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Guess what? God wants you to be smart. That's the way you love Him with your mind. We got a lot of Christians that think the dumber they are, the more faithful they are. You're just dumb. You're not faithful, you're just dumb. God wants you to study yourself approved. He wants you to work with Him and know Him and learn His ways because He's put them in motion in your life. Isn't that exciting? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God. So act like it. Act like it. When I think of Memorial Day, you know what? I've been stamped with a last name. My last name is Ayers. That means something. When I grew up, my daddy taught me how to be an Ayers. And being an Ayers was different than a lot of folks because I would come in and say, Daddy, everybody else is doing it. And he goes, that's everybody else. He said, you're an Ayers. We don't do that stuff. Uh-oh. I said, I'd like to, though. But you see, my last name identified my activity. Somebody understand what I'm talking about? Well, let me tell you who you are and who I am and who everybody is that is born of God. You are a child of God. That name identifies you forever and ever and ever and and some more and forever. And that name, that title's going to stick. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So don't get too caught up in these titles down here. Amen. You know how long people will remember that I'm pastor at Hillview Heights Church? About that long. There'll be a new kid on the block. My hair will be white, my voice will be crackling, my knees will be knotted up, and I'll be moving a lot slower than I did when I came. For too long, I'm going to step out the door and it's all going to be over. Steve who? That's how fast it lasts. See, we all caught up and everybody recognizing us. You're going to be dirt for too long. And there are going to be some new kids on the block. And they're going to have as much money as you did. And they're going to have as much impressive personality as you did. And guess what? I don't want them to remember me. I want them to remember my title. I want them to remember my destiny. I want them to know my legacy. I was a human being that believed He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. And He is the way into heaven. Because when I believe that, Tim Murley, I'm coming back to show them how He worked. Somebody hear it today? Somebody hearing this today? You are walking legacy. That's why y'all hearing me get frustrated because I'm tired of the church cowering down. Daggum Christians act like a bunch of sissies. We need a little gumption about us. The old-fashioned evangelists used to talk about, it's a word you hadn't heard in forever, unction of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When they preached with absolute significance because they believed what they preached. Here was the difference in the old-time preacher and the new-time preacher. The old-time preacher could care less if you were ticked. The new-time preacher thinks he's got to be nice to you to get your offering. The old-time preacher didn't want your offering. He wanted God to have you sold. He figured it'd be better for the Holy Ghost to shake you down than he do it. See, we've become a very humanistic group of people who follow Jesus. I'll tell you today, here's the legacy. He either is the Son of God or he's not the Son of God. And how you determine that question changes your history. Let me show you. Who is it that overcomes the world? Basic question. Who is it that gets out of here and does well? You want to hear it? Well, this is the victory. For everyone born of God overcomes this world. Now, a lot of us don't like this in this new age. What about all the good people that handed out water? They gave people a drink of water. Gee. Y'all think the devil could pull that off? I do. Now, note the scripture. Somewhere in our lives, we've got to say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to believe what you say instead of what everybody says about you. I'm going to believe you for who you are. I encourage you to do that. You'll be a legacy. Look what he says. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. You want to overcome something? Have faith. How many of y'all got faith God's going to get you to the end of your marriage? Boy, I do. That's the only way I stayed married. Said, Jesus, she doesn't like me, but she likes you. You tell her I'm all right. Steve and Sherry, they graduate, but they're not gone, are they? They never will be. Because inside of your destiny was the destiny of your child to be everything God wanted them to be. It's called a godly parent. Nathan, you're not finished. You graduated from another leg of school. You got 3.5 more years in a big, thick book at the end. Don't love me. Because God's given you a brilliant mind and I need to call you Dr. Nathan. I don't care if it takes a lot of work. Have you ever seen mercy come up in your pastor? No. Well, don't expect it. It's about leaving a legacy. Nathan's left a legacy in my life. He's poured into my life. He's poured into your life. I'm going to pour back into his life. I want you to get this concept. Who is it that wins? Those who know Jesus. And who is it that loses? Those that don't. Now, they may have a mansion on the hill. I've always said it like this. I'd rather have a pup tent in heaven than a mansion in hell. Amen? Yes. You know, I don't know if I'm going to get a mansion in heaven. I don't care. I'll take a shed in the backyard. I would rather have what little bit of heaven there is than have everything hell has to offer. I bet hell's got some big houses down there. I bet hell's got some fancy cars. They just won't run. I think hell's like this. God shows us everything we lusted after. But you know what? I really do believe this. Biblical. The rich man looked up to Lazarus. You want to talk about hell? Let's talk about hell. I don't think the flames are the big deal. I think it's that you can look into heaven and never get there. And will that not drive Americans crazy? To know that they made a decision that had a final consequence and the government can't get them out of it, the therapist can't get them out of it, mom and dad can't get them out of it. Nothing can make that decision. Now, that's hell. Don't go there. Here's the good news today. You don't have to. That's how merciful God is. He said, I want everybody, everyone who believes. Look what he says. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How many already believe that Jesus is the Son of God? King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. So guess what? I want you to stand right now. We're going to come to this altar. And I want us to begin to pray. We got some legacy to live behind here. I want to compliment you all on some things. We got some legacy. How many of y'all ready to become a legacy? Huh? Become a legacy. Amen. Montrose Holland, I don't want to embarrass you at all, but I want to honor you with Jesus Christ. I want to thank you and Ms. Gwen for staying in this place for a long time in hard times. Appreciate that, brother. Both of you. You know why? If you hadn't stayed, we wouldn't have been here. You know what I'm talking about? We have living legacies among us. Montrose Holland's one of my heroes. He poured into my life. You know what he told me to do? Now, when you're 6'9 and you're looking at your pastor's got to look up to you and he says, you need to stay put, I consider that a word from God. You know what Montrose Holland told me? If you stay at it and keep at it, that's when you grow a crop. But you got to give to it. There were 30 people that kept giving to this church, and you're here today because they participated with the Holy Spirit and gave. There were 30 people when everybody, I'm talking the religious professionals, told everybody in this church, close it, didn't they? Sell your property, move to the subdivision, pick up the yuppies, they're easy. Go get the church people that are disgruntled from other churches. That's not church growth. God said, Hillview Heights, I don't want you to lose your mission. In 1957, I put you here to win people that don't know Jesus. And I've not changed my mind, says the Lord. And 30 people believed He was the Son of God. Everybody else bailed. They went to where it was easy. But there's a few people in this church that stayed where it was hard. And God went beyond their imagination. Well, it's time to build it, folks. David, if you'll show that puzzle, I want to compliment you all. Dave, is that puzzle? Where's that puzzle? David. Boom. That's how far along we are. Each piece of the puzzle represents $100,000. Now, it's time for us to step up and leave a what? Now y'all have gotten quiet. Y'all was hooping about salvation. I want you to hoop about this. Where are you going? He said, well, this is going to cost me. So does salvation. Amen. It's not going to cost you. It's time for us to get honest. If everybody in this church tithe, that would already be built. If everybody in this church tithe, that would already be built. And I don't push anybody on money. It ain't about money. I'm talking about leaving a legacy. That building, you're starting to see it now. That's going to be four floors of building that educate the next generation. And if any of you say, well, pastor's just doing that before because he's got kids. My kids are not going to be in that building. My kids are past that building. But I know what my kids have received in this church, and I'm going to make sure, and Elizabeth and I are going to make sure, with what God's provided for us, that the next set of kids get everything God wants them to have. Amen? And so guess what I'm calling on you to do? I'm calling on you to not be selfish. You say, what are you going to do next? I'll give you the ultimate dream. It's time to die on the hill. I turned 43. That's not old. But that is halftime. I went in the locker room with God. I'd like for us to live with it. How many of y'all could die doing this? That we at Hillview Heights Church, after it was all said and done, we all were up in heaven, we'll be sitting up there at heaven, having a great time, and we'll look down, and there would be 40 congregations in the Southeast United States running over 1,000 winning people to Jesus. Could you die on that hill? How many of y'all could die on that hill? Well, your pastor can die on that hill. That's the hill we're fixing to die on. You say, well, what do I need to do that? Tithe. I'm not going to ask you any more than the Bible asks you for. Tithe. Now, for those of you who have been a little bit more blessed, guess what? You and God have a little conversation, do what He tells you to do. For some of you that are good business people and you won't, watch this. I guarantee if you ask God, say, God, we need some money for that building, and I need a deal that's going to be unbelievable. And I want to designate that deal for you, God. Guess what? I guarantee you God will bring that through, God will hook that up, and God will bring that provision in. Usually there's only a rule with that. If you designate it for Him, guess what? Don't you put any in your pocket. That's Ananias and Sapphira. See, Ananias and Sapphira got zapped not because they didn't give. They got zapped because they lied on the deal. Don't you wish God would zap all the liars you've signed a contract with? That'd thin the congregation out, wouldn't it? We wouldn't have to worry about this building, Jim. But you know what? God's merciful. And He says, I'm going to let you go on even though you think you're getting ahead. Who overcomes, folks? Jesus. I'm going to ask you to come today and pray that we build a facility. We got to. Listen, here's the only reason you hear me getting up about it now. We have no more room. We got kids in closets on Wednesday night. Is that responsible? Come on, talk to me. Is that responsible? I mean, I know that's pretty cool to say, hey, our church has even got kids in the closet. Well, that doesn't sound real good in this culture. We need kids in the classroom. And God's providing for that, and I'm just saying, let's get it done, okay? The end of June, we finish our first round of pledges, okay? It's 30 days out. Guess what can happen? It could be all paid for then. Not all the pledges have been turned in, and I know some of y'all are waiting to the very end, so it's going to be a really big, you know, boomer. Some of y'all have been very responsible. You know, you had kids in the middle of this pledge thing, and you became very honest, and you said, hey, man, we want to be honored to our pledge. Just get it done. God's not going to be mad if you don't get it done at the end of June if something like that happened. But guess what? For some of you, He's already dropped it in your lap. And He wants you to step up and just get it done. Okay? Is everybody cool? How many of y'all are glad to know we got a lot of the puzzle filled in? Huh? Isn't that great? Isn't that cool? So, it's going to be here before you know it. Merle, you'll be teaching your great-grandchildren in there. Probably about 6 red-headed little 5-year-olds in there, and they'll all belong to, you know, Papa Merle. Can y'all see that? Yeah. He'll be walking in here with a cane, bald as an eagle. Who's that? That's Tim Merle. Kathy, I'm getting him back for age references he made in a public format to you. You ready, guys? Pray with me. If you need to know Jesus Christ today, guess what? He already wants to know you. Now listen, I want to talk to you. Don't go to hell today. Is that plain enough? I know some of you are going, well, I don't know if it'll work for me. What, are you not human? Well, Pastor, I've drank a lot of beer. Lord have mercy. If we just had the beer money at Hillview, we'd build the building. I'm telling the truth. Come on, folks. Do you understand that God wants to forgive you? Just pray with me right now. If you don't know Him, know Him. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I'm a sinner. God, I broke the Ten Commandments. I've not done what You've asked me to do. Lord, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I believe You died on a cross and rose from a grave, and I want You to be in my life. All right. And now I'm going to ask you who believe. God, before I leave this place, I want y'all to make a promise to God. I'm going to take somebody to heaven with me. I'm going to be in the baptistry. I'm going to make sure my neighbors know Jesus. I'm going to make sure the people that hang around me know Jesus. Don't give up on that. And I want you to come today that we'd leave a legacy that in this church, that together as a congregation, Memorial Day. It's not going to be long. It's going to be sooner than I thought it was going to be a while back, but it's not going to be long. People like Pastor Jeff Reynolds are going to be up here giving his message. And I'll be in the back. Or up in the, I can't go to the balcony. I won't be able to walk up there. I'll be in the back. And I'll be smiling. Probably won't be able to raise my hand in worship. Not because I don't want to. Because my shoulder will have given out. But I'll raise it in my heart. And after Jeff's done, I'll look at him and say, Reynolds, God's using you, brother. Let Him keep on. I'm going to the house. And I'm not coming back this evening because I can't see to drive. But I'll be praying for what's going on. A legacy. If you've never been baptized, I'd get that way real quick. If God's been real casual in your life, this is the day to remember that there have been men and women that are not here today because they laid down their lives so that we could have ours. And I honor them. And sometimes in America, we forget. We don't get to live like we live because we're Americans. We get to live like we live because several years ago, people made decisions that let us live like we live. So I remember people like my grandfather that strapped on a mustard gas mask at age 16, because he wanted to go fight for his country. And came back a quiet man for the rest of his life because of the atrocities that he had seen. But he built houses and built churches and quietly lived out his salvation. And he took many to heaven. And at the end of their life, they gave their house and their property to the church. It was just fitting. God owned it their whole journey anyway. They didn't go through divorce and depression. They were married for over 62 years and lived in the same house. Because you see, when you live in life, you don't have to have stuff for your identification. Smile in the morning, a kiss on the cheek, a cup of dark coffee on the way to work. It all becomes a part of the communion of the saints. And God blesses. Lord, you have called us to this altar today, not to just remember those who've gone before us, but to become people worthy of those who come behind us. So God, I thank you for that baby crying. It reminds me that we're not finished. It reminds me to build the nurseries and to build the churches across this nation that will welcome those who don't know yet, but who can. And so God, bring us to this altar. And whatever happens, happens. In the name of Jesus. Come. Come. Especially if you need to receive Christ or you need to be baptized. Especially if you need to come and pray. Ask God to take it and become that legacy in the name of Christ. Become that legacy.